bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 32 to 34. 1 Corinthians 15, 32 to 34. Are you there? It says, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now I want you to note that last phrase. It says, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And Paul tells us how the people who do not have the knowledge of God speak. How do they speak? The people who have no knowledge of God, they speak this way. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And Paul says, be careful. Because if you keep company with such people, they will corrupt your habits. Who are the people who say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die? They are the people who don't think of consequences to action. They believe that you can just enjoy the moment and everything will be fine tomorrow. People who don't think of implications. People who don't think of consequences. If they are committing adultery, they don't think of consequences. If they are committing fornication, they don't think of consequences. If they are smoking cigarettes, they don't think of consequences. If they are drinking alcohol, they don't think of consequences. If they are staking lotto, they don't think of consequences. They believe that the action is good by itself, because after all die be die. For those of you who are not familiar with pidgin English, that means all death is death. All die be die. After all, 6 feet at last. After all, we'll all die and leave this. People who talk like that are bad company. Oh, yes. People who talk like that, the Bible says, they say, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And he says, for such people, be careful of them. Because bad company will destroy all the good habits you have. That tells you that the company you keep determines the habits you keep. Check your habits, and most of the time they are in consonance with the company you keep. Your friends' habits are your habits. Birds of the same feather flock together. You cannot have fire in your bosom and not be burnt. You can't have irresponsible people as your friends and be responsible. I didn't write the scripture. The scripture was written before you came. Evil company corrupts good habits. There are people who start life with good habits and end up with bad habits because of friends. If I ask most of you some of the bad habits in your life, how you develop them, almost all of you would say friends. Almost all of you. How come you do what you do, the things you hate, and it's friends? It's all friends. You didn't sit at home to develop the habit by yourself. Friends. Some of you started playing golf and develop other habits. Because after playing golf, you go to sit somewhere and drink some beer. And whilst you're drinking the beer, you're talking about women. So, in playing the golf, and that golf is good. It's good. I don't play it myself, but everybody who plays it says it's healthy and it's good. But the company you play with can ruin your good habits. So in life, you can start good and end bad. There are three relationships that this psalm tells us to be careful with. Three relationships, three kinds of people. Who are they? Number one, the ungodly. Blessed is the man that does not take his counsel from the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? The ungodly are those who are morally wrong or bad people. Bad boys and girls who have grown. How many of you know bad boys grow into become bad adults too? You sit with them and the whole conversation is bad. At first you don't like it, but soon you get used to it. Bad, ungodly advice. Every advice they give you is wrong. They are ungodly. They are bad boys who have become bad adults. And bad girls. The girls, I won't get to you now. The second group of relationship you have to be careful of are sinners. Everybody say sinners. Sinners. Who are sinners? Sinners are criminal offenders and breakers of the rules. Sinners are the people who do the opposite of everything that is right. They break rules. They change the laws. They don't fear to dare to do the wrong. They are adventurous. And the third group are scoffers. Scoffers. Even their name is scoffing. As if you are coughing. Scoffers. Who are scoffers? Scoffers are those who mock and wrongly interpret what you value. They are the ones who look at you and call you, hey, pastor, hey, bishop, hey, archbishop, hey, pope. Hey, Vatican. They make fun of you as a Christian. Osofo, hey, champion, Osofo. And they make you feel bad for believing in Christ. They make you feel bad for believing the Bible. They make you feel bad for doing the right thing. They are mockers. They are scoffers. And they wrongly interpret what you believe in. But the Bible even says Solomon married 1,000. Solomon was a wise man. He married 1,000. So you got only one. Scoffers. They mock, they wrongly interpret, and they make fun of you. All of us have got ego. And when people make fun of us, we don't like it. Very soon, you want to prove them wrong. You want to let them stop making fun of you. You want them to stop mocking you as if you are not a human being. And in doing that, you follow their way. Three kinds of people. The ungodly, bad people, morally wrong people. Sinners, breakers of every law. And scornful, those who mock at you and wrongly interpret the word of God. They are the ones who say, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. After all, Jesus turned water to wine. They are mockers. And if you look at that passage in Psalm 1, you see three progressions of relationship that you can have with these three kinds of people. First, it talks about those who walk. And then later it talks about those who stand. And then finally, it talks about those who sit. It's a progression of relationship. You walk, you stand, you sit. The movement reduces over time. What does it mean to walk? To walk is to move or act, or to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, is to move or act on the advice of people with wrong morals. Don't walk in the counsel of people with wrong morals. Check a person's morals. Somebody was telling me that these days the women are also as daring as the men. Since equal rights. Have you seen that poster that says, what a man can do, a woman can do better? I think the women have taken that literally. And so they are doing what the men are doing. Some time ago, when you talk about adultery, it was almost a man's problem. These days, it's also women's problem. They are as daring and as venturous as the men. They know how to collect money from different sources. One pays light bill, the other pays water bill, the other pays space phone, another one pays Mobitel, another pays Kasapa. One buys food, the other pays rent. One buys shoe, the other buys dress. So they've budgeted for all the men. In their income and expenditure, they have Mr. Mensah, expenditure. Mr. Riafi, expenditure. Mr. Okran, expenditure. Let me give you a disclaimer. All names used are fictitious and have no bearing on anybody in this church. But some of you men, your names are in the income column of some people's balance sheet. They create the expenditure and you are the income. And you supply. And the women are so smart. They manage all these men without problem. It's counsel. They have received advice. But that advice is called the counsel of the ungodly. The net effect, according to someone, is that you become like chaff. You'll be blown. One day, you will not be found. You'll be scattered into the winds because you're not stable. The second level of association is standing. And he talks about not to stand in the path of the sinners. To stand is to be firmly established on the path of those who break God's rules. You have a firm establishment with such people. That is when advice falls on deaf ears. Has it ever happened? You have a friend, he starts with the counsel of the ungodly. Now he's standing in the path of sinners, and nothing you tell him makes sense. The man is sacking his wife and children, and he can't think. He's now standing, he's firmly fixed in the path, and nothing is changing his course. He's decided to go, and nobody can change his course. When people stand in the path, they are very difficult to convince. They're standing in the path of sinners. They've decided their course. This is how I'm going to do it, and nobody can tell me not to do it. I'm going to sleep with that man, and I don't care whether he has a wife or not. Me too, I'm a woman. I also have feelings. When people talk that way, they have entered the path, and no advice can help them. The course is determined. The destination has been plotted out. I'm going to get that man. I'm going to get that woman. I'm going to steal that money. I'm also going to build a house. And if it means stealing the money, I will steal. What hasn't happened before? You see, when people determine their path, they will always give you the counsel they were obeying. I will steal the money. After all, what can they do? I will just go to Nsawam. I'll go to prison for 2-3 years. Won't I come out? Won't I come out? I'll come out. So that is the counsel. Now they've told you the path. The path is I'm going to steal the money and I'm going to buy that house. But you can't change my mind because I've already received counsel. So by the time people are on the path, you can't counsel them because they've already been counseled. The counsel of the ungodly has already taken root. Then after they move from counsel to path, then they will finally settle in the seat. What does it mean to sit? It says, do not sit in the seat of comfort. It's to be comfortable around those who wrongly interpret God's principles. By the time a person is on a path, he's going to look for people like him on the same path, and he will sit with them. What's going to happen is people you never thought would be your friends 5 years ago are now your friends. Some of you should check your life. Some people you thought would never be your friends are your friends. Some places you thought you'd never be comfortable going to, you are comfortable going there. Some films you thought you would never watch, you are watching them. Some things you thought you would never do, you are doing them. And not only are you doing them, you have others doing them with you and you are comfortable with them. You have now settled. You are in the seat. You've moved from walking to standing to sitting. And if you are a Christian, that is when people say, hey, Osofo. They will still be mocking you. Hey, you, Jesus Christ. And making all kinds, you have become one of them. And what happens is, because you are a late comer to a wayward life, you are more zealous than those you came to meet. Have you seen a Christian who has backslidden before? He's worse than the unbeliever. If the unbelievers, they started chasing girls, you know, early, and by the time they hit 40, 50, you know, they are reforming. And if even they are not changing, they are beginning to balance themselves because nothing is exciting. Like Solomon, all is vanity, vanity of vanity. So they are now at least trying to balance their ways, you know, and closing some chapters. Now, as for the believer, now he just came in. And he says, hey. So he becomes very aggressive and very zealous and goes beyond everybody, does more than everybody. And people are wondering, isn't this the man who used to preach? He started with the counsel of the ungodly. He determined the path and now he's seated. It's a progression. Some of you have started with a counsel and you're receiving bad counsel now. The counsel of the ungodly. Very soon, you determine the path. And after that, you will sit. And when you sit, the sad thing is, whilst you are backsliding, your friends who were sinners are repenting. Isn't that sad? The one who was a sinner, whose life you admired, who mocked you to backslide. After you backslide, one day he comes to church and says, Lord Jesus Christ, all is vanity, change my life. And he gets born again. And you, who used to distribute tracts and go for all-night prayer meeting, you are backsliding flat on your face. There's an exchange. Sometimes the first becomes last, isn't it? Tell the person as you stay with godly counsel. Where should the believer look to for wisdom, direction, and destiny? Successful people build on God's law and principles. They build on God's law and principle. That is where they get their counsel. That is what determines their path. Thy word is a lamp unto my path. That's where they sit. That is the place. They sit in God's word. They stay in the path of God's word. They take the counsel of God's word. If you're going to have the portrait of success, you must stay in God's word. And when we talk about God's word, we're not just talking about just the Bible, reading the Bible. We're talking about living by God's principles. God's principles. There are two things that the scripture says successful people do with God's word. Number one, they delight in God's word. They delight in God's word. To delight in is to desire and value. They value God's word. And number two, they meditate in God's word. They study, they imagine, and they speak God's word. Their imagination is filled with the word of God. Those who live by God's principles, meditate in and value God's word, become stable people, trees planted. And out of God's word, they receive nourishment. They become productive people. They become healthy people. And they become successful, whatever they do. Finally, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The book of the law is what we meditate in order to be successful. The word of God gives us good counsel. If you want good counsel, don't take it from the ungodly. Take it from God's word. Learn from the experience of people in God's word. There are people whose experiences are negative, and there are some people whose experiences are positive. You read about Solomon. He's an example. But he's an example of what not to do. Because the Bible says he married 1,000 women and his heart was taken away from God and he lost the promise of God. After Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. And the kingdom never became whole again up to today. That's what happens when you become a Solomon. You lose your household. And you lose what God has given to you. So Solomon is an example of what not to do. Abraham can also be an example of what not to do when you go and take your maid servant. He's a man of faith, but he also has things that we must avoid. Noah is an example of what not to do. He drank alcohol and got drunk and became naked and started cursing his children when they discovered his nakedness. That's what happens when you are overtaken by alcohol. So in the Bible, you see examples of what not to do. Consequences of actions. Take counsel from that. The word of God guides our path. The path you pursue is not the one the sinners have given to you or shown you. It is the path that God's word shows you. And after you follow God's counsel and walk in his path, then the word of God will seat you in the seat of good success, not in the seat of discomfort. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Your path will be prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to have a portrait of success, you have to go to the fundamentals of God's principles. Get your counsel from him. Establish your path from him. And be seated with people who know him and honor him. And when that happens, you will have good success and prosper in all your ways.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbeil, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbeil. Email otterbeil@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.